98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Wednesday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show. Here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, we are live from the Auction Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns, alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo.
Burnsy, what's going on?
Everything just got real today about this game coming up on Monday. Doesn't it feel that way? Like everything, you woke up this morning, and it's just like bang, bang, bang. Eric Weddle's coming out of retirement for this game and this team. Cliff confirms to the LA media that DeAndre Hopkins isn't going to play, but then J.J. Watt has a press conference and he's talking about his rehab and everything, and all of a sudden it just, like this morning, it got real, Gambo. It got real in a hurry this morning.
All we need is for a mascot to upset one of the players on the other team and we're good. That's all we need. Big Red?
Hey, you know what?
Big Red pisses Matthew Stafford off or something like that. You know, it's all we need.
Yeah, look, in the immortal words of one Devin Armani Booker, quote, "We hashed it out. We homies now."
Homies,
close quote.
And that
to me will, those words will live on. Those words are right up there with just give peace a chance, man. We hashed it out. We homies now, close quote. And anytime you have a disagreement with somebody important in your life, hash it out and be homies, and everything's going to be okay.
That's it. Be homies.
Everything's going to be okay. We'll talk about this. That was just odd. Well, everything about last night was odd. Every single thing about that game last night was odd, including Devin Booker taking issue with a jumping mascot off to the side while he was trying to ice the game with the free throws. We'll talk about that game coming up in a little bit. But like I say, man, everything just kind of got real about this Rams game. Let's weigh in on our top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in. Brought to you by Revitalize Weight Loss.
All right, we're gonna kind of go in order of events that happened today, because there was a lot that happened, and we're gonna spend a minute or two talking about Eric Weddle and Cliff on DeAndre Hopkins, and then we're gonna get right into the J.J. Watt sound, because he spoke today, and man, there's a lot to unpack there. Eric Weddle got signed to the practice squad today by the L.A. Rams, coming out of retirement. He retired in February of 2020 after playing all 16 games in 2019, and apparently this is in response to the Jordan Fuller injury that's going to keep him out for the rest of the postseason. And what a move by the Rams, right?
Just, you know, looking for depth with all those injuries. So, I mean, he retired after that 2019 season. He's 37 years old, played for the Rams in 2019, final year of his 13-year career. And, you know, they signed a couple other guys, too. They signed a defensive back named Blake Countess and Sherrod Neeson to the practice squad. They also signed safety Jake Gervais to the roster. But none of that's getting the play that Eric Weddle is getting. He was a really great football player.
Yeah.
Can he help? I mean, he's a smart football player. You know, I mean, he's smart, but, man, he hasn't played. I can't imagine that he would be able to help them. But, you know, I mean, beggars can't be choosers. You know, Fuller goes down, and they're going to throw everything at the wall and see if something sticks, including a guy that's been out of the league for a few years.
Yeah, been out of the league for a couple of years. Just given his age and the fact that he hasn't played, it's hard to imagine how ready he's going to be in 4 or 5 days for this game, but okay, whatever. Then Cliff Kingsbury gets on a call with the LA media, and this shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody, but he announced that DeAndre Hopkins is not going to be ready to play for the Cardinals in this game against the Rams on Monday.
Yeah. I thought there was, based on what I was hearing from them, I thought there was a chance that they could get him back at some point, maybe even this week. But we never reported that. We never said that was going to happen. And, you know, I said I would not even say that it's likely it's going to happen. But I thought that based on the time frame, right, that injury was, it's about a 5-week injury, and you're right about at that time right now where he could be coming back for the from the injury. And there was definitely some hope that they would get him back at some point in the playoffs. And I don't know that they've ruled him out for the playoffs. I think they'll take this, you know, week by week with DeAndre Hopkins. But again, not having him on the field, I mean, that's the be-all, end-all for the Cardinals. I mean, their offense is much different when they don't have DeAndre Hopkins on the field. We've seen that week after week now.
And then J.J. Watt got behind the podium. He's going to return to practice tomorrow. And he spoke at great length about his condition, about his, you know, ability to play on Monday. He was asked point blank, will you play on Monday, and what would prevent you from playing on Monday?
I won't speak to Monday. I personally am excited to get on the practice field and see how it feels. I've been doing stuff on my own, been doing stuff with offensive linemen, you know, on the side, but haven't been in the actual full-blown practice setting yet. So I'm looking forward to that, looking forward to getting back out there with the guys, and we'll make that decision as Monday comes closer.
Yeah, we said this yesterday. What would prevent him from coming back is if he can't help the team. Like, he knows his body, so he's got to go out there, and if he feels like he can get pushed and he can be disruptive, he'll play. But if he feels that he can't help the team, he's not going to go out there for his ego. He's not going to go out there to say, look, I'm out here. I proved that I can make it back in a short amount of time. J.J. Watt is not going to play if he can't help this team. So if the guys if there are other guys that are better than him, then those guys are going to play. And he'll back out. He's a smart football player. He's got a lot of pride. He's not going to go out there and make a fool out of himself. So this practice will ultimately determine whether he plays or not.
Here's J.J. describing the injury.
I'm not exactly sure what was reported. I asked my doctor to write it down because he speaks in much bigger words than I. I have two honorary doctorate degrees, but I didn't actually go to class. So, I mean, basically what happened was the shoulder dislocated out the back, took everything with it on the way out. Rotator cuff, labrum, capsule, infraspinatus, everything gone. And also dislocated my bicep tendon in the process. So went in, I got a big scar here, got a big scar on the back, basically opened it up, fixed it all up. I asked him to tighten it down tight. He did. And then we went to work on rehab.
Well, that sounds like it's not much fun.
Yeah, it does sound like it's fun.
That sounds like it kind of sucked, yeah. If we're just going to be honest about it.
Yeah.
God, that's terrible.
But in his mind, he said, what's the timetable? And he's ahead of schedule, and his timetable was to always make it back for this game. That was it. He knew the Cardinals were going to go to the playoffs. He was never planning on playing in the regular season. He was going to work as hard as he could to give himself a chance to possibly play against the Rams on Monday. Now, whether he plays or not, I think it very much it's going to be on how he feels when he goes out there and he plays. And, you know, in your mind is right, right? His mind is right. I want to play. I worked my ass off. But now his body's got to tell him whether he can play, because his mind is there. He wants to play. But now his body will ultimately tell him whether he can play in this game Monday night or
not. Yeah, and he definitely said today he was in the express lane when it came to rehab. It was about getting back as fast as possible.
I got surgery on November 3rd, and we just went to work on rehab, just doing whatever I was allowed to do, pushing wherever you're allowed to push, and trying to do whatever we could every single day, from treatment to workouts to little movements to nutrition and sleep and whatever possible to get back as fast as I possibly could, knowing that this team is special, knowing that we have an opportunity to do something great. I mean, I went down, we were 7-0, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know, this team really, really is special. This team does have an opportunity, and it was devastating to go down at that time, and all I wanted to do was get back to try and do whatever I could to help this team. And so I'm thankful to everybody who helped me along the way, and I'm hopeful and looking forward to the opportunity to come back.
Yeah, you're absolutely right when you say that. In listening to his words, it's very obvious that mentally he's in the right spot. Okay, yep. He's ready to go. He's raring. He absolutely physically. We'll find out starting tomorrow. You know, we've seen him rehab. Cliff and Steve Keim to us have talked about what a monster he's been in the weight room and what he's done to get to this point. We'll find out tomorrow when the Cardinals are on the practice field for the first time for this game on Monday, physically what he is able to do. Because mentally, he sounds like he is ready to play right now.
And listen, you got to give him all the credit in the world for working his ass off to get back to this point where he could possibly play in this game. Look, they need him. I mean, they need him. You'll talk a lot about, you know, the pass defense and the rush defense and everything. I mean, it'd be a shot in the arm if they can get him back and he can play at a high level. But I don't think he comes back unless he can play at a high level. I mean, I really don't think that if the guys that would normally back him up are better than him, I don't think that he's going to go out there and play. So I think for him, he's got to now see if he's able to get that push and have that explosion and do what he normally does on the field.
Yeah, I want to play one more from JJ. This is him talking about the guys in the locker room who are huge for him in his recovery.
We just talked about the dark days. If I was having a tough day in there, it's real hard to have a tough day when Marcus Golden comes up to you, daps you up with his big-ass smile and tells you how much fun he's having, or James Conner walks by and says, "I see you working, big dog." Like, all the interpersonal relationships and those things are... That's what makes you want to work so hard. And there's not a day in that training room that I wasn't motivated by seeing these guys every single day.
That's good stuff right there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think tomorrow we'll have a real good indication if he goes out there and he has a good practice.
Watch the Cardinals-Rams game this Monday at your nearest Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers for the Big Red Viewing Party. Enjoy delicious handcrafted food and specials on Four Peaks products, including AZ Hazy. For more info, check out coldbeers.com. Four Peaks Brewing Company, also an official partner of the Arizona Cardinals. As always, please enjoy responsibly. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo Show, Suns got a needed win. It was an ugly game. It was a weird environment. And that thing with the mascot at the end was really funny. We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, afternoons.
CP3 into the forecourt. Gets a screen from Ayton. Penetrates. Right elbow jumper up and around the rim and in for CP3. He gets the roll from his spot, and the Suns have a three-point lead.
99-95, they beat the Toronto Raptors last night. With the Warriors losing to the Grizzlies, and we'll probably talk about the Grizzlies for a couple minutes at the end of this segment, because, my God, they're playing good right now. With the Warriors losing to the Grizzlies, the Suns once again have the best record in the NBA, 31-9. That was an ugly, weird game last night for the Suns. They were like, just watching it, the empty building, watching all of those offensive rebounds to start the fourth quarter. My God, it just never ended. And yet the Suns, credit to them. I mean, sometimes you just got to win them like that, and they won one like that last night.
Yeah, it was kind of an ugly win. I mean, the Raptors didn't have Scottie Barnes. They didn't have Gary Trent Jr. Both were out with minor injuries. And Toronto had won six games in a row. You know me, I always want to see, you know, how are they incorporating guys? How are they playing it? So, you know, I wanted to see how Jalen Smith came into the game and Biyombo. And so Biyombo got in the second quarter, and in the first quarter, Jalen came in for Jay Crowder. So always look to see those type of things, how Monty's using it. But this game really came down to the fourth quarter and, you know, a couple of big plays defensively and offensively. Jay Crowder hit a huge three-pointer, and then McHale hit a three-pointer. And D.A. had a basket, and they had an 8-0 run that gave him an 89-83 lead. Now, Toronto battled back, and it was a close game. It was 1 point with 12 seconds left, and then you got to the free throw game. Book hits two free throws. Birch hits two free throws. Paul hits the free throws. Van Vliet makes one and then misses one on purpose. So they were able to get that lead up and then win it in the final, 30, 40 seconds with the free throw game.
Yeah, I say ugly only because the Suns turned the ball over 20 times, because the Toronto Raptors had 22 offensive rebounds, and those two things combined, the Raptors were able to shoot 15 more shots than the Suns were last night. And it just watching that fourth quarter in particular, and EJ was doing a great job on the broadcast, just lamenting every single time it seemed like Chris Boucher was getting offensive board after offensive board. The Suns just could not grab one of those. But to be able to overcome that, to be able to overcome an off-shooting night from Devin Booker, he was only 4 of 13, but he hit that big shot with about a minute to go to give them that lead. It was just kind of an ugly game, and we talked about this towards the end of our show yesterday if you weren't with us. Because of the COVID restrictions in Canada specifically, there were no fans there. And while it was just a year ago, while there were no fans in any NBA buildings, and slowly they were starting to be reincorporated back in, it was weird. Monty, after the game, said it was cold and it was quiet, and it was just odd to not have anybody there. It was the whole thing was just a strange night, but I do find that for games like that, it requires a certain amount of resilience to win when everything's a little off and things really weren't going their way, and they weren't for the Suns, and they won anyway. So I think ultimately that's a good thing.
Right. No, it is, right? Five-game trip, and you start out with, you get a win against the team that had been hot, a team that had won six games in a row, a team that came out and, you got Van Vliet. Boucher was just terrific for them.
He was
so good. Off the bench, the rebounds, so many offensive rebounds. You mentioned that earlier, but that was, how many tip-ins did they have off of rebounds, offensive rebounds? So, you could even see early in that fourth quarter with about 9 minutes left, Monty was like, okay, I've had enough here. They're down by six. And he comes right back with Chris Paul, Jay Crowder, DeAndre Ayton. You're like, okay, I can't wait.
Yeah.
You guys are back 9:01 mark. Those guys came back. They gave Book a little bit more of a rest. And by the time Book came back, it's a two-point game, 83-81. Book comes back with 6:19 left. Now, Book didn't have a good game overall, but you could see, Monty. I think Monty's got a real good feel for when he's got to get those guys back. So just 3 minutes into the fourth quarter, he's like, okay. Because they started the fourth quarter with Campaign, Landry Shamet, McHale, JaVale McGee, and Jalen Smith. But within a couple of minutes, Monty was like, okay, I got to get some of these starters back, and he was able to do that.
Yeah, and good on DeAndre Ayton. He only had one rebound in the first half. His teammates apparently got on him a little bit at halftime. Monty called his second half a tremendous response. He ended up with 16 points and 9 rebounds, so obviously 8 of his boards came after halftime. And then, of course, there was one very interesting, noteworthy, national attention-grabbing incident with the Toronto Raptor mascot and Devin Booker.
Like you had issues with the blow-up doll.
No, it wasn't a blow-up one. It was the other live one. Yes. We have shit out.
When the blow-up thing was up, man?
No, he was alive.
The real mascot.
Yeah. We cool now, though.
It was so funny.
Because he's okay. If you couldn't understand any of that garbled stuff, because the Suns post game press conferences on Zoom aren't leave a lot to be desired. There were two mascots last night. There was the big blow up Raptor,
one.
And there was the live one. And that's what Booker said. It wasn't the big blow up one that I had a problem with. It was the live one who was jumping up and down while I was
free throw line.
Yeah, it was 6.5 seconds to go, and he said it was the jumping up and down, that it was the live one that was bugging me. Quote, we hashed it out. We homies now. Close quote. But nationally, this has turned into a. I hope everyone's just laughing about it, and I hope nobody is trying to like poke holes at Devin Booker saying he's not tough because of this, because I just think it's more funny than anything else. But man, this has turned into a national story. Everyone's talking about Devin Booker getting into it with the mascot.
Thank goodness he didn't have to play.
Thank good he didn't have to play as a college player with the ASU curtain distraction. I don't know what he would have done if he was a visitor at ASU, and they're coming out there dressed up the way they dress up. Listen, there's different ways to look at this. You got one guy paid by the organization that's out there to distract the other team. Now, when there's fans in the building and everything, that's part of it. But should there be a mascot that's trying to distract one team but not the other? And I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of people are making fun of Book. He complained about the being double-teamed one time. Now he's complaining about the mascot. I think there are people that are looking at Book. Oh, man, that guy's soft. What's he doing? Like, come on. Make the free throw. I mean, you've been in worse situations. You've had worse distractions than a mascot jumping up and down. Go make the free throw.
Yeah. I get it, and I'm sure in a building with no fans – when you've got one mascot jumping up and down, you're not going to notice the mascot jumping up and down when the place is filled with fans, because you don't notice. It's the place is filled with people. But when the place is empty, you're going to notice the mascot jumping up and down. And I get it. I get that he, like you say, complained about being double teamed. I saw one national headline. This ain't golf, Book. You can't expect everyone to be totally quiet when you're at the free throw line. I thought it was funny. I get why some people are giving him crap about it. I hope it's more in humor than anything else, because I think by now Devin Booker has proved his worth, proved his value, proved that he's tough, proved that he's this, proved that he's that. It was funny. Yeah. And it was funny that he had to distinguish between which mascot was giving him the hard time, the big blow-up one or the live one. And then real quick, by the way, look out for those Memphis Grizzlies.
Man, 10 in a row.
Straight, and they beat the Golden State Warriors last night. And Ja Morant, 29-8. They are cooking with gas right now, man. They are they're playing real well. And I know there's still a lot of season to go, but Ja Morant is, you talk about that All-Star game coming up here in another month or so. Boy, Ja Morant might steal a starter spot from a couple of Suns in that game with the way he's playing right now.
Well, check this out. This 10 game winning streak, they beat the Suns, they beat the Nets, they beat the Warriors, they beat the Lakers twice, they beat the Cavs, they beat the Clippers. Like, they're beating good teams.
Yeah, they are.
They're beating really good teams. Yeah, that's a team to watch out for, man. Nobody's going to want to play them in the playoffs.
They are the only team to have beaten the Warriors twice so far this year. Very, very impressive what they've been able to do. When we come back on the Burns and Gamble Show, first, let me remind you, anything we're talking about here on the show, you can text us your thoughts on any part of our conversation. The FanDuel text line, it is always open for you during Burns and Gambo. Text us at 620-620. Right now on the FanDuel text line. When we come back, Cliff Kingsbury, once again, going to have his quarterback in the spotlight of a Monday night playoff game. How does Cliff see Kyler handling the pressure of that moment? Strong words. You'll hear him next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter Poll, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Got Mitch here with today's Twitter Poll question of the day. It is based off of a couple of assumptions, one that has been kind of confirmed by Cliff Kingsbury, and the other that we're just going to have to wait to see till Monday on the status of J.J. Watt. Mitch, what do you got for us today on the poll question?
All right, so we're assuming that one of the stars will be back and one of them won't. We're assuming J.J. Watt plays Monday. We're assuming DeAndre Hopkins does not.
And I want to reiterate that we don't know for sure whether J.J. is going to play
on
Monday.
Sure.
We don't. We know he's going to practice tomorrow. We don't know if he's going to play on Monday.
He was mum on the subject as well. So
practice. We're talking about practice.
Man.
But we do know that Hop's not going to play. Cliff ruled that out today when he was talking to the L.A. media on the conference call. So just want to make sure, you know, full disclosure,
we got good.
All right.
We got to disclose as much as we can on the Burns and Gamble Show.
So what do you got?
All right. Moving those two players out of this equation, so to speak, who is the next most important player for the Cardinals to have back on Monday night? James Conner. Oh, is it easy?
Easy for me.
Do you want to answer before the options or do you want the options first?
Give me the options.
Okay, so you have four options. James Conner, Rondale Moore, Marco Wilson, or Chase Edmonds.
It's between James Conner and Marco Wilson. I'm going to go James Conner. And the reason why is because if you can have these long drives and run the ball, and that'll help your defense. So that'll help not having the best cornerbacks out there. So I'll take the veteran running back that can get those third and one, third and two. He's a touchdown machine. Because if the Cardinals could get some sustained drives, it'll help the defense not be on the field a whole lot, and then you won't have to worry about the cornerbacks as much.
Yeah, I thought Marco Wilson was going to be the bait, you know, on the hook, maybe to get some people to bite on that, given how bad their pass defense has been the last few weeks. I agree it's James Conner. I think it's close. I think it's close between Conner and Marco Wilson because their secondary needs some help right now. Badly, badly, badly. So I think it's close, but I think James Conner is the right answer. What's our audience say?
Okay, so early returns. You're right as far as the two leaders are concerned, but most people are turning to the attention of the guy that scored a ton of touchdowns this year. James Conner getting 67.9% of the vote thus far. Marco Wilson second, getting just a half percentage under 20%. Rondale Moore is the next closest at 7%. Chase Edmonds at 5.5%. A lot of the comments saying basically it's either Conner or Wilson.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. It makes sense. That's the poll question. You can find it on our Twitter page, at Burns and Gambo, one word. Good way to participate with the show while we're on the air. Mitch mans our Twitter poll account and our Twitter account. So if you want to make any comments or talk about what we're talking about on the show, you've got that, and you've got the FanDuel text line as well. You've also got Cliff today, Gambo. Strong words when talking about his quarterback and his expectations of his quarterback on Monday nights.
Yeah, I think this is what he's been waiting for 3 years. He's a guy who you know, wants to be playing for something and knows he's playing for something. And this is his first shot at the playoffs. And I expect him to play probably the best game of his career. And I know he's going to give it everything he's got.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I hope Cliff's saying that. I hope Cliff's not sitting there saying, I don't know, he's going to be nervous. Playoffs, different animal. This is what you wait for. I heard Derek Carr talk about this the other day. Same thing, right? He's never been in the playoffs, right, Derek Carr?
No, he hasn't. No. He's making his playoff debut. In fact, I saw a stat on NFL Live. There are only two quarterbacks who have played in more NFL games before making their postseason debut than Derek Carr. Yep. So, yeah, it's been a minute for him.
He's 30 years old. He was a 2014 draft pick, second round, 2014. He was in that draft. He has played 127 football games without going to the playoffs. He played in 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and then finally got into the playoffs. This is his eighth year in the league, and he finally gets in. And so, you know, for Kyler to get in after only 3 years, that's pretty good. Like, that's pretty good. Now you got to take advantage of it, right? I mean, you want to win. You want to experience that. You want to know what it's, you know, we know what it was like with the Suns last year when all that talk about, oh, no playoff experience. Look, win or lose, no matter how they play, this will be a positive experience for Kyler to be in this environment, to play in a playoff game. This will help him grow. This will help him get better. And again, regardless of how he plays, I think there is a positive that comes out of this, that he does have that playoff experience now. Just like people that talk about the Suns, oh, they have playoff experience now. They didn't like the Suns last year because they didn't have playoff experience. I think it's overrated to a certain extent, but I do think the experience will help Kyler.
Yeah, and to your point, look, I agree. I think, of course, what else is Cliff going to say? That's one of many potential reactions to what Cliff had to say about Kyler today. But I think the other thing is to contemplate whether Cliff is accurate, whether he's telling the truth, whether what he's predicting is actually going to happen, that Kyler was, in fact, made for moments like this, that Kyler was built to go win playoff games, and he's been preparing his entire life for a moment to go win a playoff game. And to your point about the Suns, it is eerily similar to conversations we had about the Suns last year, about Devin Booker, and to a lesser extent, DeAndre Ayton. Hey, man, we have no idea how these guys are going to react in the moment. How are they going to do? What's it going to be like for them? Well, it turns out they kicked some ass and took some names in the playoffs. Both of them, the whole stretch run, there was zero, and now there is zero debate about their ability for how they're wired for games like that or moments like that. And so for Kyler, this is kind of his Devin Booker moment. We think we know how you're going to do, but until we know, we don't know. Cliff is very confident. He was asked again in a follow-up how he knows that Kyler is going to play his best on Monday nights.
No, I wouldn't say there's anything to that extent. It's more just knowing the competitor he is, knowing that he's been waiting on this moment for a long time. It's been a grind, 3 years of trying to build this thing to get into the playoffs. Day in, day out, a lot of ups and downs, and so I know he's just looking forward to this opportunity, and he'll give everything he's got.
Hope he's right.
Kyler is not has not played in a win or go home game with the Cardinals. You know, the first year they won, five games and then eight games and then eight games last year. The Cardinals had a chance to make the playoffs last year, but Kyler was not the quarterback when it was win or go home. It was Chris Streveler who was the quarterback when it was win or go home. This year, they basically had the playoffs locked. There were no winner. This is the first win or go home game for Kyler with the Cardinals, correct? I mean, I'm not missing anything.
Well, I mean, okay, win and go home? No.
Win or go home.
But win to move on, they've had five of those games the last 2 years. Win to clinch a spot in the playoffs, they've had five of those games the last 2 years. Kyler was the quarterback for four of the five, and they didn't win any of them.
Has he played in a game, and if they lost, the season was over?
Well, just the one against the Rams last year, but that was Chris Streveler. He came on eventually at the end of that game.
Right.
But I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying, but he has played in games where, hey, if you win, you clinch a playoff spot,
right.
And he hasn't won any of those games
yet. Different. I mean, it's different because there was still next week and next week and next week.
Sure,
and,
of course.
I mean, he clinched playoff spots.
Yeah, I pointed
spots
that out. Yeah, there's a distinction.
Game.
Yeah, there's a distinction.
Yeah.
But
so, I mean, I am curious to see how he responds to a game in which if you lose this game, that's it. Pack up, you know, you're packing up your locker and, you know, your season's over and you get to watch everybody else play. Was he made for these moments? God, I hope so. I mean, I hope so. I mean, he has been a great quarterback at every level that he's ever played at. He's been a winner. So I would tend to think that he is. But, you know, those guys on the other side of the ball, like Aaron Donald, they might have something to say about it.
They might. I mean, really, if we're being honest about it, the only game that truly matches this was what? Alabama-Oklahoma? Right?
Playoff game?
Yeah, in 2018, December 29th, 2018. Yeah.
High school. I mean,
yeah.
He played in so many big games in high school. And we can't discredit that because the level that he played at, the crowds that he played in front of, like that, you know, that does matter. I mean, that builds you. That builds your character. That builds your toughness and your ability to handle these situations. I don't expect Kyler to be deer in the headlight at all, ever. I mean, because the magnitude of games he played out in high school and college was so great that I don't think that Kyler is a deer in the headlight guy. I think he'll take it head on and he'll have, you know, do what he can. Now, part of it will be, you know, the weapons he has and the game plan. I mean, you can't get, what was it last week, right? Everything was to a tight end or a running back. Almost every damn pass was to a tight end or a running back.
Just about, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and they, you know, Cliff said, oh, Seattle took away the deep pass. I mean, you gotta take some shots down the field. No risk it, no biscuit type thing. I'm very curious to see how Kyler plays. I can't wait till next Tuesday when we're talking about, you know, Kyler Murray's performance because, you know, Kyler's a guy that – they're going to keep him, and they're going to pay him, and there's going to be a lot of money that Kyler Murray is going to make from Michael Bidwell, and everybody wants to see if he's worth it.
Yeah, and for those who don't recall, in that Orange Bowl, that national championship semifinal game, Alabama jumped out to a 28-0 lead after just 17 minutes. They ended up winning 45-34, a furious second-half rally by Kyler and the Sooners, but it wasn't enough, and that really is – the one, you know, his high school career aside, that's the one game where you start talking about win or go home. That's how he did in the win or go home game. But that was 3-4 years ago now almost. So we'll see how he does on Monday. He's got the confidence of his coach. There's no doubt about that. We have harped so much on the rush defense of the Cardinals several weeks this season. Has their pass defense held up the end of the bargain? We'll talk about it coming up. Burns and Gambo Show.
Cardinals championship chase coverage presented by 72 Soul on the home of Arizona Cardinals football. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo talk Cards, Rams, now.
Yeah, nobody slowed him down. He's got his numbers every week, regardless of coverages or player or whatever people try to do to stop him. And so that's a credit to him. He has such a great feel for the game, great understanding of their system, great understanding of how to create space and separation. I just can't say enough good things about him. So it's going to be a group effort trying to slow him down, but you know he's going to get his. You got to just try to contain it as best you can.
That is Cliff Kingsbury, and he is talking about Cooper Kupp, the Triple Crown winner for wide receivers in the National Football League, receptions, yards, touchdown catches. He led in all three categories to win the Triple Crown in the National Football League, and that is one of the challenges for the Cardinals going up against the Rams on Monday night. And that, Gambo, is part of the reason why we kind of formulated the poll question today the way we did, knowing that a lot of people were going to vote for James Conner as, you know, outside of J.J. Watt, maybe the most important guy for them to get back. I was really curious to see how many people were going to say Marco Wilson, because the secondary has not been at its best the last month or so of the season. And we can sit here and point to injuries as the reason why, but you're going up against Stafford, you're going up against Kupp, you're going up against OBJ. It better get better on Monday if the Cardinals are going to have a chance to win.
Look, I don't expect Robert Alford to play. I think there's a good chance Marco Wilson will play. So I feel pretty good about Marco Wilson playing, but I don't expect Alford would be back to play. But just getting one of those guys back, right? If you get Marco Wilson back, because when you're down to your fifth and sixth cornerbacks, you're in a boatload of trouble. And that's what the Cardinals were, having to play, you know, Peterson, having to play Borders. I mean, that's not a good spot. We overemphasize the run defense and how bad the run defense has been, especially at times.
Yeah.
It is fascinating, based on all your homework for this game, just how flawed the pass defense has been, you know, these last five games. They're just not getting the job done.
Yeah, it's a story from our friends over at CardsWire and Jess Root. They put this out there, the pass defense. And, boy, you are so right about that rush defense. We talked so much about that. But Doug Farrar of Touchdown Wire writes this: the real issue with this team comes on the other side of the ball right now. Since week 10, Arizona has fallen from second in defensive DVOA, which is it's an analytical number. I'll just tell you what it means real quick. Defense adjusted value over average. Basically, it's a ranking of your defense compared to the quality of the team that you're playing.
I could study that for an entire day and fail the test the next day.
Well,
I have no idea what DVOA is.
I'm just telling everybody what the letters stand for. What the D, what the V, what the O, what the A stands for. How exactly they determine that number, I don't have the first clue, but I'm just giving everyone.
It doesn't sound good. I mean, it was second and now they're 19.
Yeah, and then in.
Hey, and then from second to 28th. What did they fall in? I don't know, but it's some defensive category. They were second, now they're 28th. That's not good. I know one thing. That's not good.
Yeah, pass defense, DVOA.
Oh.
They were second. They're 28th, to your point.
I might just go take the V out, DOA, dead on arrival with those stats. They were second and 19th. They just take the V out. DOA, this defense. Pass defense.
Honestly,
yeah.
you should just walk away from the show right now. I don't know if you're going to get better than that.
You think so?
Taking the V out of DVOA and just be DOA. I think that might be the best you're going to give today.
My best moment today.
That might be your best moment of the day. You might want to walk. Yeah. Okay, put into numbers that it does not require a degree from MIT to understand. The last five games, the Cardinals have given up 14 touchdown passes compared to only one interception. That's it. 14
touchdowns.
That's not good.
Yeah. And I can tell you that that's not good.
And their QBR allowed is the fourth worst in the league over that time. That is also not very good. Now, we could sit here and say injuries. We could sit here and say, well, this guy was out and that guy was out. And while that all might be true, at the end of the day, you have to figure out a way to rise above. You have to figure out a way to adjust. You have to figure out a way to deal with it. And the Cardinals, in their past defense, have really struggled with that lately.
Well, that's why I think, you know, if it's not going to get solved overnight unless they get everybody back. And even with that, like, how are those guys going to play? And no matter what, like, we could say that you like going up against this quarterback more than any other quarterback, but I don't want to go up against Cooper Kupp and Tyler Higbee and Odell Beckham Jr. And like they have really, really talented receivers that these guys are going to have to cover. So it might have to be a shootout. You might have to have, you know, Cliff likes to play fast. I mean, is this a game you really want to play fast? Do you want to slow it down a little bit and try to keep the Rams offense off the field and try to have some of those long drives? That's why I think James Conner is so important, because if the Cardinals could put together some of those 9, 10, 11 play drives and eat up 7, 8 minutes on the clock, that will go a long way towards helping this depleted secondary. I mean, that's what I think. I think the best way to help this secondary is to hold on to the damn football.
And to go on long drives and to keep the Rams offense off the field. And in reading some of the work coming out of Los Angeles today, a lot of the talk there is, if you really go back and look at the teams that hurt the Rams this year, and you could probably say this about a lot of teams in the NFL, the ones that really hurt them were the ones who went on those long, long drives, who kind of took advantage of the fact that the Rams aren't the best tacklers, that the Rams, you know, can, we certainly saw it against the 49ers, give up rushing yards in chunks at times. I mean, for the most part, they've been good at it. But if you can, and if you go back and you look at the Cards win against Los Angeles in week 4, and I know that was a long time ago, man, you will find long drive after long drive after long drive. Keep that offense off the field, wear down that defense, and I would imagine that if you want to cover up, to your point, cover up how bad your secondary has been, keep your secondary off the field. Keep your offense on it as long as you possibly can.
Yeah, that's going to be key. Look, I think, you know, based on what we've seen with Borders and even Kevin Peterson, I mean, it's a lot to ask those guys to go out there and cover some of the Rams guys. And even we saw last week, I mean, you know, some of the blitz packages you come up with. I mean, they had one play with Chandler. Remember Chandler Jones in coverage last week against Seattle? I can't remember who it was, but just, I mean, you got no chance. Like, you know, so Vance has to be smart, too. I know you want to get pressure on a quarterback, but you can't leave some of these linebackers on an island covering some of these receivers and tight ends.
You can text us your thoughts on this matchup. The FanDuel text line, it is there for you. It's 620-620. Text us whenever you want over the course of the show. We'll get a chance. We'll read some of the best ones on the air. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the Suns, they are, once again, the team with the best record in the NBA, but the teams behind them are very worthy opponents as well. We'll get more in-depth our weekly round ball roundtable coverage. Suns broadcaster John Bloom, our special guest, next on the Burns and Gambo show.